We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Rob Doster here. I got Jeff Goodman with me.
Hell no.
John Tate.
Are we still live?
Kill the 68 till I die.
Give it to you.
I'm sorry, man. I flapped out.
Randolph Children.
DJ Khaled. You know the big DJ Khaled guy?
Hands grown up and in.
Goodman needs to be fired all the time.
Josh Pastner.
You're going to beat people straight up.
You know the deal.
They have no swag. They have no nothing.
Terrell McNeil.
From the bluest of the blue bloods to the smallest of the mid-majors.
This is Field of 68. After dark.
Yes, it is on this Monday night, March the 18th. Welcome to the Field of 68 After Dark. I'm John Fanta. We've got a crew for you tonight. Jeff Goodman is here. We've got Rob Doster. He's here. We've got a stacked hour plus for you. We're on the Stadium app. We're on X. We're on YouTube. We got tons of updates coming for you in the next hour. The players that could take over the big dance. Transfer portal ran. That's coming. But I just want to start with this, gentlemen. And I'll start with you, Jeff, as you are wearing a beautiful James Madison University Dukes cap tonight. We'll talk JMU Wisconsin on this. Now that we've all had time to digest, okay, digest the bracket, look at the bracket. When you woke up this morning, Jeff, a portal aside, let's talk about the beauty of the bracket. When you look at this bracket again, is there something that's at the top of your mind when you're looking at everything that you think is going to be interesting in this tournament?
I mean, I can't find three Big East teams, Vanna. That's my problem. You know, I can only find three Big East teams. I can't find the other three. And I've been searching everywhere in this frigging bracket.
And you know where they are, Jeff?
No St. John's.
You know where they are?
I mean, no Seton Hall.
I know exactly where they are. They're right next to the Robbie Hummel statue.
Yeah. No, I listen. Here's what I'll say is looking at the bracket and having a chance to digest it, I think it was the same thing a year ago. Okay. So I think every year we look at it and we say, like, all right, all season, there's all this parity. There's all this parity. There's no dominant teams. We've said this for a few years now. And then we go to fill out our bracket and we're like, yeah, but like, are they really going to beat them? Are they really going to – is UConn really going to lose early? Is Purdue really going to lose? Who are they going to lose to? How is Houston going to lose at the end of the day, right? Carolina, they've still been really good. Even the two seeds, like, who's beating them? So if nobody saw FAU coming. Nobody saw San Diego State coming. Nobody is going to see there's going to be a team crash the dance in Phoenix – that nobody saw coming, I promise you.
Rob, is there someone that you look at that could crash this party and get to Phoenix? I've got a couple candidates. I'd love to hear one or two of yours.
Yes, there are some. I do just want to say that I think that I don't think this year, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but I feel like the narrative this year for much of the season was that UConn and Houston and Purdue had all kind of separated themselves, right? And I know that Purdue kind of came back to earth with a couple of losses, and Houston got smacked around by Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament, and UConn's still rolling. But like, I do think that they are there are three teams that are a clear step above everybody else. Now, that doesn't mean they can't get beat, obviously, because Purdue lost to a Wisconsin team that feels like they haven't played well since January, and Houston lost by 30 to a team that scores like 65 points a game. So that doesn't mean that they can't get beat. But I do think that there is a clear top three, and it's very, very hard for me to see how any of those top three don't make it at least to the Elite Eight.
Who's the third? Purdue, UConn, and who?
Houston.
So you have Houston there, even though their big man honestly runs like you.
I didn't say that. He runs like you. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I said that it's very hard for me to see them not getting to the Elite Eight, and so I just I can see. So you talk about teams that can kind of crash this. Fanta, I think we talked about this earlier on the DTF pod. I think Mississippi State can pick off North Carolina. I think that's a really tough matchup for North Carolina in terms of the physicality. I think Tolu Smith is the Drew Timmy of the SEC. I think that they have guards. They have big athletic wings that can defend you. They got a kid named Josh Hubbard who is absolutely electric and one of the most fun players in college basketball to watch. That's the one seed that I think has the toughest draw in the second round. I don't think FAU or Northwestern gets to UConn, I just don't see them being able to hang for 40 minutes defensively with what they run. I'm not sold on Texas A&M and Nebraska being able to score enough offensively to deal with Houston and their physicality. And Utah State kind of does a lot of similar stuff to Purdue. And I don't think TCU is overseeded. So I don't know. That's probably the kiss of death for all three of those teams. But I find it very difficult to see how any of them end up losing early in the tournament.
My thought process is this. When I'm trying to rationalize crashing the party, of the four regions, teams that have no excuses, for me, it's Purdue. From the very start of this season, we said, for Purdue, this is it right here. The dream can become reality. Zach Edey's back. Braden Smith and Fletcher Lawyer are another year older. The Boilermakers have a setup in their Midwest region to absolutely, positively get to that Final Four. Kansas is battered. We're going to hear from the football doc, Dr. David Chow, coming up on the show with thoughts on that. They're not at full strength, and they're coming in this tournament in a tough spot. Gonzaga, I still think they're overrated. 4.5 weeks ago, they were in the last four in bracketology. Now they're a five seed. All right? The two-seed Tennessee, obviously, they're a great team, and Dalton Connect's a terrific player. I think this is going to go chalk. I really do. I like Creighton. I don't love him enough to see him in a regional final. South Carolina, I think Oregon's going to pick them off. I don't like Texas enough. My point is, I think all the cards are set up, Jeff, for a Purdue-Tennessee regional final. Am I wrong?
I mean, Creighton can get there, John. Creighton can get there. If they get hot and Ashworth plays like he did. Ashworth played at a high level for about a month, like a really high level. And Mason Miller had enough good moments. Listen, Ryan Kalkbrenner still, I mean, again, I would love to see Kalkbrenner go up against Zach Edey. I would. I mean, the guy who never fouls against the guy who fouls out everybody. Like, how great would that be? To watch that matchup. Now, again, the problem is the amount of force coming at Ryan Kalkbrenner, not just from Zach Edey, but from some of those other, it'd be hard. It'd be hard for him because, as I've said all year, there's so much pressure put on Kalkbrenner. I think Creighton can get there. I do. I'm not ruling them out. Now, again, if you're telling me, yeah, I think Purdue and Tennessee meet in the Elite Eight, but I'm not ruling Creighton out.
No, and I'm not either. That's short. You know, I'm not ruling them out. But here's the thing. Creighton and Tennessee are together. They'd be in a 2-3 matchup if that goes strong. I guess my point is, at the least, Purdue should be in that Elite Eight. That the cards are on the table here. Purdue got an easier draw than they might have gotten the easiest draw of all the one seeds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't disagree with any of that.
Because Gonzaga is not a real five, and like you said, Kansas right now, even if Kansas were 100% healthy, we'd still have the same questions we've had all year about the Jayhawks, right? They got four dudes. Mm-hmm. And now you got their top two players. You have no idea. I mean, McCullough hasn't been healthy in a month. And Hunter Dickinson, we'll get an update from the football doctor here in a minute. But he's not 100% and probably not going to be 100%. And then you got Furphy, who honestly looked completely overwhelmed in a lot of these games down the stretch. Again, it looked like he almost hit a wall again.
Yeah. Well, we got to ask this question. Stramoni in our YouTube chat paid $20 to ask us a question right off the top of the show. I love the question. And feel free. You want to pay $20 to ask us something about your bracket tonight? We're here to help you.
You can ask us anything. It doesn't even have to be about the bracket for $20. You can ask. Yeah. You can ask Doster. Fana might have. Listen, I'm not going to say what happened earlier in your podcast, but you might have taken a little bit of a bathroom break earlier.
I took a bathroom break. You can ask us for any bracket questions. Just please, we keep our clothes on this show. You're not allowed to ask us for any of that stuff. All right.
Stramoni, we take the clothes off the last call. That's when it gets weird.
Stramoni asks, which 11 seed do you think goes furthest or can make a run? He says that it feels like Oregon or New Mexico for him. I'll give you guys the 11 seeds, Duquesne and NC State. Duquesne has BYU in the East. NC State has Texas Tech in the South. New Mexico has Clemson. Popular pick are the Lobos. They're favored in the game. Oregon has South Carolina. Rob, which 11 seed are you most bullish on?
I think Oregon has the best chance to win a game. I really like their matchup with South Carolina. They've gotten healthy, and Fale Dante was the Pac-12 tournament MVP. Their freshman guards aren't playing like freshman guards anymore. You know, it's they've gotten really good, and I love Lamont Paris. I love the job that he's done at South Carolina this year. He should be the SEC Coach of the Year. This is a tough matchup for him, and Oregon's going to be the more talented team. But I think New Mexico has the best chance to get to the second weekend out of the 11 seeds, simply because I don't think Oregon matches up that well with Creighton. If you're kind of reliant on a big guy, Creighton, and the big guy is not Zach Edey, Creighton is a difficult matchup for you. So I think that New Mexico can absolutely beat Clemson, and I think that they have a better matchup with Baylor, because they both of those teams are kind of built the same, right? They have a bunch of really good guards. And the thing about New Mexico's guards is a couple of them can really, really, really defend. So if we looked up on, what would that be? On next Monday, a week from today, and New Mexico was still playing, I would not be surprised at all.
Jeff?
Give me Oregon. Yeah, give me Oregon, Dana Altman, all that retirement talk, I think, fueled them a little bit. Jackson Shellstead is awesome, one of the best freshmen in the country. I don't know if he's Peyton Pritchard, but he's pretty damn good as a freshman who missed the beginning part of the season, by the way. You know the matchup I want to see from an 11 seed? I'm not sure if we'll see it, but if NC State does beat Texas Tech and Kentucky beats Oakland, how about DJ Burns going up against Big Z? Wouldn't you love to see that matchup in the post, Ralph?
Yes. Well, look, first of all, that would not be a matchup because DJ Burns would put him through the basket stanchion. Also, shout out to DJ Burns, who wore those big old goggles on our show the other day. It was pretty funny.
I tell you what, the 11s are quite compelling. When we look at the 12 line, I got to tell you guys, Jeff, I don't know about you, but I cannot wait for 3 5-12s. Like St. Mary's, Grand Canyon, phenomenal. Gonzaga, McNeese, Mark Few versus Will Wade, Shahada Wells on one side, Ryan Nemhart on the other. That's going to be a blast. And then Wisconsin, James Madison. Like you get Chucky Hepburn, Tyler Wall, you get Terrence Edwards and TJ Bickerstaff. The committee gave us the goods on the 5-12s. Which 12, Jeff, are you most confident about?
I think JMU. And not because I'm wearing the hat. Yeah, I just, again.
Why?
Well, it's more of the lack of trust from the opponent right now as much as anything. We saw that Wisconsin team, and I saw them in person in Bloomington, and it was a long slide for them. Now, again, they obviously play better in the Big Ten tournament, but you just look at them and you're like, they're not super talented. They're not. And I just feel like JMU's got some really, really good players.
You disagree?
That's the wrong answer. And that's nothing against I think JMU is going to win that game, but that's the wrong answer. The correct answer for those scoring at home is Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
Grand Canyon's got like a guy. You're going to talk about the top five like impact stars of this tournament, Fanta. If you don't put Tyon Grant Foster on that list, me and you are going to have a problem. That dude is awesome. All right. He's the WAC player of the year. I think he's a first round pick right now. My hot take, my bold prediction in this tournament is that when we look up in 3 weeks and the tournament's over and all of these mock projections for the NBA draft are going to have this dude like in the top 20. Right. I think what's going to happen is he's going to go off. He's going to lead Grand Canyon to a win over St. Mary's scoring like 35 points. And then they're going to beat whoever Alabama or Charleston, whoever they end up. He's either going to put up like 45 on Alabama, who doesn't have a big wing that can guard him, or he's going to just go big boy Charleston, who doesn't have like the kind of big size, length, athletic wings that you would see to match up with Tyon. So I think that I have Grand Canyon in the Sweet 16. I think that they make a run. I think that he is the star. I think he's the breakout player. I think he's the guy that everybody falls in love with at the mid-major level, not just because he's awesome, Jeff, but that dude's got an unbelievable story.
Yeah, he does.
You know, I'm fascinated to see, because we didn't hit on McNeese versus Gonzaga, and a lot of people are on the McNeese train. Jeff, where do you stand with that quickly, like 20 seconds?
I think too many people are going to pick it, so it worries me, right? It's going to be the kind of de facto upset of the first round, and those are the ones that scare me the most.
That's why, folks, don't fall into the trap all the time. Sometimes being contrarian is okay. Hey, next up, what kind of faith do we have in the Blue Bloods? This is After Dark.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 all through the NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we do have some fun stuff coming for the conference tournaments and especially for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love the most, a nice parlay boost for anything you could possibly imagine betting on in the NCAA tournament, from odds and getting an at-large bid to Final Four futures to the highest seed to make to the Sweet 16. I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet for your March Madness needs. So go download the BetMGM app, use the code FIELD, and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request, the best way to support the Field of 68 and our content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod, like and share the YouTube videos, tell your friends about us. It helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to the show.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
UVM, UVM, UVM.
I am shocked. Nice. I am genuinely surprised. So
this is the greatest swap of all time. Like, I can't stop smiling right now. Yeah, yeah. Throw, honestly, you're coming in out of the pen, and that might be the last start of Rob Doster's career. That's it.
Willie Pip.
Ladies Wally and gentlemen.
Pip. Close. Wally Pip. Willie Pip. Same thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Randolph Childress is here, the pride of Wake Forest, the 19th overall pick in the 1995 draft. Has joined us. Randolph, where are you right now? Explain to the viewers where you are right now.
Man, I just landed in Columbus, Ohio. A little delayed flight getting out of Charlotte, man. And sorry, I'm running a little late. But, yeah, I got the NIT game tomorrow, Cornell, and the Buckeyes, man. I get to see our guy. I get to see our guy.
Are you gonna tell him what I said?
I'm gonna talk to him and see. I don't know. Have you talked to him?
No, he tried to call me yesterday, and it was just a crazy day. It was while we were doing the show. He tried to call me, so tell him I said congrats. And unbelievable story. Listen, I talked to Jake Diebler about 3 weeks ago. I was in Bloomington, Indiana, when he got the job, and I talked to him then. And literally, I remember saying to him, like, hey, Jake, like, he had already won maybe a couple at that point. I said, this is an unbelievable audition for you, you know, for a mid-major. Like, great opportunity for you to learn and maybe hopefully get a chance to get a mid-major job. And Jake Diebler ends up getting the Ohio State job and one of the biggest surprises since I've been doing this.
Jeff, you know what I'd add to it? It's one of those things where, at this level, a lot of ADs wouldn't have the guts at a Power 5 conference to do. Like, that would be the biggest thing to me, the AD pulling the trigger and doing this. A lot of guys would try to win the press conference and try to find the NCAA darling and all that. I think it's a story that should be told throughout the landscape of college athletics, that in a short period of time, if you can do something like this, you got an opportunity. Now there's precedent that you can get a high make, any job for that matter, where you got, what is it, 8-game audition? Like, yeah. That's unheard of at a level like this. That's unheard of at a level like this.
All right, let's dive back into the tournament, because before the break, RC, great to have you. Jeff Goodman, John Fanta here for everybody tuned in on Sirius. We're going to dive into the Blue Bloods here, okay? So Kentucky is where we're going to begin right now, because they're in the South. They're the three. They're going to take on Greg Campy's Oakland team. Mr. Townsend for Oakland is some kind of special. Texas Tech, NC State in their pot. But Kentucky, 23-9 coming into the NCAA tournament, coming off of a game in which they gave up 97 to Texas A&M in the SEC championship. And John Calipari says, in the last 24 hours, Jeff, that he wants to make a, quote, tweak to Kentucky basketball before the NCAA tournament, and the talks are about maybe going a little bit big with his lineup. What do you make of Cal, regardless of what it exactly is, saying that he wants to tweak something?
Cal does this every year, and the tweak is usually just a line of bullshit. I mean, that's generally what it is for Cal, right? Like, he just throws out there the tweak, and Big Blue Nation kind of falls for it, and they're like, the tweak's coming, and they get all – but there's no reason to tweak anything here. They've been playing really good basketball. You're going to play two bigs? Like, I don't know why you would possibly do that. You're so much more talented than Oakland. The strength is in your perimeter play. To me, rotate in one of those bigs at a time, but I want to see, to be honest, I want to see three of those guards in at all times, three of the four. And Wagner, to me, is the fourth guy. But I want to see lineups of Reeves, Dillingham, and Shepherd in there the majority of the game. That's their best lineup. Don't screw with it. Don't tweak anything, Cal. I mean, again, listen, there's no real tweak anyway. Let's be honest.
RC,
I think he's trying to take pressure off the freshman. I think he knows he has a young group. He's relying on some young guys. I think he's trying to make all the attention draw upon him And so these freshmen can relax. So all the noise that they're going to deal with over the next couple of days heading into the tournament, I think he's just trying to say, focus on me, lead his team alone. Don't say nothing about my guys. Don't say nothing to my guys. I'm going to do something magical. It ain't but so much he can do. But I think that's all he's doing. I think he's just –
You want to play two Kyle bigs, just RC? Trying to, RC, would you play two bigs with that
not team? Early. Not early. Hell no. Not early. No.
Hell no.
No, I mean, as Kentucky fans are saying, Cal, how about you play your best players the most minutes?
Yes.
Like, I get it. I get it with Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham and what they've tried to do, Jeff. But, like, you can't mess around here. Don't go away from what's gotten you the three seed. The fact is you are playing pretty doggone good basketball. We know you're flawed defensively, but you've got to play your best players. End of the story.
Yeah, there's no
Francis, reason. Yeah, I Jeff, I'll say this. I think it's like to further elaborate on that. Kentucky Blue Nation is going to go ape crap if this team doesn't go really far in this tournament. Like, let's just be honest. And I think he feels the pressure. Everybody feels it. Everybody knows it. The worst thing, I think it can be the entire talk of the tournament if this team didn't perform and was to somehow get upset early in this tournament. Like, it just cannot happen. We talk so much about all these other schools. No one has been as more disappointing in the tournament than Kentucky. So I think it's all. Say again?
Do you like the draw?
I do. I do like the draw. I think this is the one draw. I think it's the one bracket where I don't know. I think Houston will be okay early if they're healthy. This is the one bracket where I am concerned that it won't be a one or two seed. It could not be a one or two seed. Like, I can see Marquette with their injuries just because of the injury concerns and the full complement of roster concern. Of the top two picks, everybody can be all dismissive and be like, "Oh, Colton's going to show up." He's been out for weeks, and anybody knows you've done that. That's not an easy thing to do to come back. If he's been out weeks for a guy who is, I can't even say how important he is. He's arguably the best point guard in the country. Jeff, you've lamented that all year. You've been a big component of his. He's the best point guard. If he's not because of the injury, he's right there.
He and Chad are right there.
They're right there. Right there. It's just what you like. You can't lose it. They're not winning a national championship. They're not getting to the Final Four without him. The question is, they're not getting there if he's not himself. If he's not what we accustomed him to being, and people can be dismissive all they want. You just don't sit out the Big East tournament and then just say, oh, like you've been there, done that, and then show up in the NCAAs and hope that it's he's okay. I think there's more to it. Same thing with, in Houston, I'm not as concerned, but still, we saw what, if they're not healthy, what can happen. So this is just the one bracket with Kentucky and their defensive woes where I can see an upset coming. The other brackets, I think, is going to be one of the top two seeds. I don't see anybody. If I was betting, I would bet one of the top two seeds in all the other brackets and push all my chips in. This is the one bracket where, because of health reasons, it can be a number of teams.
Listen, can I answer this? Kentucky has arguably the easiest road to the Elite Eight of any team in this whole thing. Like any team, period. I mean, look at it. You get Oakland in the first round. Then you get NC State team that had to win five games. They were out. They were long gone a week ago. Texas Tech's a nice team, and Pop Isaac's done a great job. I just saw him, but like they're okay. Grant McCaslin's done a terrific job with them this year. Then you might get Florida without their big, who's out for the year with that gruesome leg injury. Marquette, as you said, we don't know how healthy Tyler Kulik's going to be. Like, honestly, could it have been set up any better for John Calipari? There's no need for a tweak. There's no need.
No.
Just go out there and beat the hell out of people.
Now, let's go back
Jeff,
to this
everybody
region.
Knows it.
Let's go back to this region here while we got a couple of moments. Stay in it because you got Duke. You got Duke. What's your faith with this draw with Duke? Obviously, on the four line, You're playing Vermont, who I think could give them a test. I just don't believe Vermont is going to beat Duke. But you got an interesting 5-12 here. But honestly, guys, like, this isn't horrible. I think JMU's going to beat Wisconsin. Could you, if you said to a Duke fan right now, you got to beat Vermont and James Madison to get to the Sweet 16, like, where do you sign?
Or so you go, because you've seen both Duke and Vermont in person. You've seen Duke multiple times.
Yeah. I have Duke. I probably call Duke more than anyone. I if this was some of Coach Becker's other teams that shot the ball better, I think they could give Duke a run for their money. This is a tough physical team. He's got two all-league guys on his team right now in Bogues and O'Leary. They just don't have enough offense, man. They can't score enough. They just can't. They can't score enough. I don't think consistently to do it. I think he knows that. I think they would have to do something different, uncharacteristic. He's not a zone guy. He's a straight, old, tough, physical man-to-man. They got a few athletic guys. They just can't do it. I will say this. This Duke team gets a lot of crap because they're not – people say they're not as tough. I don't think they're as athletic as they've been. They're not as – pressing and aggressive on the defensive end. They don't force turnovers. They more in the gaps. This is just an untraditional Duke team, but they're solid defensively. If they were to get to Houston, they are the only team that I feel like can score enough points that could give Houston a go.
Wow.
And I don't think they beat Houston, but I think that they're the one team that if you beat Houston, you got to score. You're going to have to be able to score points. They got the guard play and the bigs, the mobile bigs, to handle it. I think Duke plays. I'm not saying they will. I'm not betting on them.
I mean, listen.
But I think they could be.
Like you said, the one thing we question about them is toughness with Duke. What does Houston do best? What do they do best?
But, Jeff, that's my point. I think we question their toughness because, one, in general, the perception is everybody hates them. This is just so – unlike a Duke team that we've seen in the years past. There's no dog. There's no Paolo Bencaro. There's no dominant guy. Flip is really, really good. The guard play is – can they get them all playing well at the same time? You know, they got the backcourt. They got guard. They got pieces. Am I betting on them to beat Houston? I would not. But I will say this. We just saw a Houston team put up 41 points. This Houston team it struggles offensively at times. And if they don't change anything, And they got multiple guard play that can handle the pressure. Say what you want. They got three-point guards on the floor at all times. They got bigs that can catch it on a short roll, that can put it on the deck, that can pass. Like, that is the recipe when you know it's coming. It's a hard hedge. Mobile bigs and multiple handlers is the recipe to handle that. And I'm just saying Duke is capable. They're the only team I see with the point total that could give Houston trouble. And I'm not betting on it, but they are the team that can do it.
Let me tell you something. In the South, if we get Houston Duke and we get Kentucky Marquette, if it goes chalk, like Kolick versus Dillingham Shepherd, that whole dynamic, that'd be a hell of a show to watch. Hey, up next, what the hell's going on in the transfer portal?
By now, you guys have surely heard about Autograph, an app founded by Tom Brady with the intention of disrupting the way that fans consume content covering their favorite teams. This is how the app works. All of the podcasters, bloggers, and digital creators covering a team have their content sent to that team's page in the Autograph app. Instead of having to bounce from site to site or trying to navigate the safer workspaces on Twitter, you can just scroll through Autograph. This isn't a hard sell. This is the truth. I am a UConn fan, and I use the Autograph app to keep up with the writers I read and the pods that I listen to about UConn basketball. The best part is that every piece of content that you consume gives you reward points. The more you get, the more chances you have at things like discounted tickets to games and the grand prize, a trip to the LA Regional and a spot in a suite for the Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games. Here's the best part. We've partnered with Autograph to donate $1 to the V Foundation every time someone downloads the app using the code F68, with a minimum of $2,500 getting donated. The app is free. So download, use the code F68, help us raise a little bit of money for cancer research and give Autograph a try. I promise you it will be worth it. And while we're here, a quick reminder, make sure that you subscribe to The Daily. We have new landing pages with deep dives into each coaching change, as well as a tracker that provides scouting reports on the transfers that have entered the portal that you are going to want to know about. Hit the link below to subscribe.
Welcome back to the Field of 68 After Dark. John Fanta, Randolph Childress, Jeff Goodman with you. And on this Monday, March the 18th, 2024, we are just over 24 hours removed from a bracket being revealed. The NCAA tournament starts tomorrow with the first four. But on this Monday, I found that our social media feeds were not about what was going on with the bracket and picks and predictions. We covered that here. We'll get back to it in a moment. But as at Goodman Hoops tweeted earlier today, slow day in the portal, 275 names and counting. This was the first day that the transfer portal was open, and they're coming in by, not the dozens, but by the hundreds. So, Jeff Goodman, we all have strong feelings about this, but I'll have you lead it off as you were at the forefront of getting text messages and being contacted and having the names pop up. What on earth is going on with the portal, and what needs to change?
I mean, it's a complete shit show. A complete shit show today. There were 292 names. The last one went into 8:38 p.m. The poor person who was in charge of putting names in the portal, they started at midnight. Right at midnight, Devin Dinkins went in from George Mason. And again, the last one, that's a long day. I hope they got overtime pay over there in Indianapolis at NCAA headquarters, because the portal was buzzing today and it shouldn't have been open. Why in the hell, if you're the NCAA, are you having people like myself? Somebody eating there? Fan, are you chowing down?
No.
All right, just making sure. why are you having the portal open today when it should be all about the NCAA tournament? And I'm tweeting about portal entries. And I'm not alone. Think about how stupid that is. This is the biggest thing that the NCAA has. Their cash cow. It should be all about the tournament right now. All you had to do was push this thing back. 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I don't care. But you don't do it the day after Selection Sunday. I know some schools wanted it early. But ultimately, to me, close the window. Right now, the window is 45 days. It started today. It ends on what, May 1st. So at the end of the day, make it a 30-day window and start it maybe right after either the Elite Eight, because those final four teams, you want to start it then. There's four teams left, and they probably don't give a shit. They're so excited to be in the final four. They'll still have a little bit of time to work the portal. But ultimately, that's what you have to do here. That's what you have to do. It's the intelligent move. And again, there's no reason we should be talking, we should be tweeting, we should be writing about anybody going the portal on a day like today, when it should be all about the brackets, the tournament, starting up. We've been waiting for this all year long. We haven't been waiting for the portal.
RC?
I agree. I think there's so many other things that need to be discussed about it. I mean, because even the NIT and everything, I like what they're doing. I like the NIT and the changes and stuff that's about to happen and what they're implementing in that more NBA and FIBA rules. But some of these kids, there was a big thing yesterday with Tom Crean talking about that as well. And it was the impression that coaches and everything want to get in the portal and how they want to handle that. Sometimes it's the kids, man. These kids don't want to play because they want to go in a portal. They just want to be done. They want to be out. And you can't allow it. It's unfair. And then when you, as a coach, it's a no-win situation when you're put in these situations. Because if you didn't make the tournament, you feel like you're being punished. If you don't make it, then you're thinking about next year.
Right.
You're thinking about the following year. You're not worried about all the other, whether by NIT, the CBI. You ain't worried about any of that. You're thinking, man, I got to get on my job for next year. You see coaches getting fired in 2 years, depending on the job. you know, 3 years. So you don't have long. You got to fix it right away, and you got to fix it through the portal. So people talk about having a bunch of staffs. As a head coach, man, come on. They got to be responsible for every player that comes in. They got to see them. It's just not as simple as I think some people are making it to seem.
This is a travesty. It is an absolute mess. It's a dumpster on fire and needs to get changed immediately. This is the last year that this should exist. The transfer portal opening on what is being called Selection Monday. A bunch of players and people, nothing against them. They're allowed to transfer. They're allowed to have their freedom of movement. All that stuff is fine. I'm not going to sit here and argue that. They're allowed to do what they want to do. But a bunch of players that were on teams that, frankly, lost and are irrelevant right now, getting headlines, getting any remote storylines during a time where we should be celebrating the teams that have won. And we will, and we have on this show. But this is the greatest week of college basketball in the entire calendar year. And the tournament should get our undivided attention across the sport. The sport defeats itself when it has players entering the portal. And you currently, and I'm going to read this text message that I got today, and I'm sure, Jeff, you got plenty of these too. Power Five assistant coaches who are in the NCAA tournament are calling around asking if there are any transfers available for their program because they're tasked with reloading their roster and they're tasked with keeping up with everybody else who's trying to reload their roster. That is disgusting to me. This, you owe it to your team, your group of young men, 18 to 22 year olds, some 23, some 24. You owe it to those men to give your undivided attention to the goal that you had all season, March Madness, the best postseason in sports. The fact that because of this stupid portal timeline, coaches of NCAA tournament teams have to also give any inkling of attention to how they're going to build their roster going forward. It's a joke, man. This is ridiculous.
No doubt.
Hey, but no doubt. But they got it. It's ridiculous. But this is what they have to do. You have to figure out a way to manage it, right?
But they shouldn't have to.
No doubt.
I'm not ripping them. I'm ripping the system.
Right. It's right. The system. NCAA has to. The problem is they don't think things through. And they made a mistake, and they need to, like Fanta said, they need to correct it immediately for next year. Immediately.
This can't.
I got zero faith in that. I got zero faith in that. There's a million other things going on in the landscape of college athletics.
I'm gonna talk to Charlie. Hey, I'm gonna talk to Charlie when I see him at the Final Four. We'll get it done. Me and Charlie Baker.
You're gonna get this done.
Yeah.
I just don't. It's not healthy for the sport when. Like, everybody, the casual fan, you guys got texts from family members and friends today, right? Hey, who should I pick? Who? I'm filling out my bracket. I didn't even have time.
I didn't have time to look at this damn thing. I was in the portal half the day.
And Jeff, what? Doug McDaniel, Devin Askew, Stojakovic. Like, it's not like these are names that are.
Well, those are the best names. You just read off the best. Now, again. There's going to be big names. I mean, Hunter Dickinson went in last year. There are program changers that are going to come out. But today was not the day. That's all it was. Today was not the day to start the portal.
No. Timeline's got to change. We got a couple of minutes here. That's the most time we're going to dedicate to that. You know, RC, we asked this question in our opening segment, okay? And you brought up Houston, but – a lot of people are trending talking about Carolina getting picked off, North Carolina getting picked off as a one in the West earlier than, you know, a regional final potentially against Arizona, the Caleb Love Bowl. Where do you stand with North Carolina's draw, RC? Do you think Mississippi State or Michigan State, either way, they're going to be able to get to the second weekend? Do you have any concerns with North Carolina?
I think my man T.O. fell asleep while he was tanning out in Vegas and got a little sunburned, man. I think that's what happened. I'm gonna have to call and check on my brother and make sure my brother T.O. is good, man. I think he got a little sunburned and, you know, and just was off. He's off his game a little bit on that one. No, I get what he's saying. It could be the Michigan State. We know Michigan State can probably do that. Mississippi State, that battle, you know, that'll be a hammer. I mean, that's a slug. That's a rock fight. Whoever wins that game will be a challenge, but I don't think they can score enough to beat Carolina. So I get the thought of that. I just think Carolina just offensively is just too much for either one of those teams, and I think they'll get through. I my dream game of this entire tournament is Arizona and Carolina to go to the final.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I can have one wish, that game right there, I would pay money to be there
if that to watch happens, that game. If that happens, do we get Carolina Caleb or Arizona Caleb?
Boy, that matchup between him and I think you get 2 years ago NCAA tournament Caleb, and I think you get current RJ Davis. I think you get, man, I couldn't ask for a better. I don't think you can write it any better. Outside of getting UConn and Purdue, meeting, I don't think there's a better game that I want to see than Carolina Arizona. Period.
What would the line be, Jeff? Set the line for a Carolina Arizona game.
I mean, probably Carolina by 2, maybe. Not much. Probably 2.
Damn. And I love that it would be in Los Angeles. It'd be in Hollywood. Just where that is meant to be. Do you think, Jeff, do you think that we will get that dream matchup, or you just think in the West we'll get some insanity?
Yeah, I don't have Arizona going that far. Oh, I don't know where they
He lose. Do that all the time. He trying to downplay the Wildcat. Man, cut it out.
But I hope we get it because it would be awesome. I mean, listen,
nobody.
What we all want, right, are a lot of the upsets early. The best tournaments are the ones where you get a bunch of upsets early, but you keep most of the big boys. You keep most of the ones and twos. That's usually the best way, the best blueprint for the NCAA tournament.
I feel comfortable with every one of those except the South bracket. I feel comfortable with the one or two in every region except the South. With Houston, I'm worried about Houston until I see them healthy.
Hey, up next, we'll get to the East. We haven't hit on that yet, UConn's path, and football doc, Dr. David Chow, gave us key medical updates.
There is nothing better in sports than tournament time, which is why I need to tell you guys about our partners over at Rithm. If you're into sports betting, you need Rithm, the place for data-backed props and picks. For those that are unfamiliar, Rithm, spelled R-I-T-H-M-M, is the go-to mobile app for player props and game picks. Backed by AI predictive models, Rithm helps you make smarter and faster betting decisions across all sports, but particularly college basketball. With Rithm, you get data-backed picks for every single Division I game, every single day. Users get free picks daily with the ability to upgrade to unlimited access. If you want to increase your edge and win more bets, go to the link in the description and download Rithm today. That's R-I-T-H-M-M, the place for data-backed props and picks. And while we're here, let me tell you about our newest partner for the month of March, Splash Sports, the home of certified community competition, where you get to play against your friends and not the house. Whatever game it is that you are playing, from Survivors to Tears to Pick X, the safest way to play for real money without the hassle of having to track down deposits or worry about payments is through Splash. They have partnered with PaySafe, the best deposit and payment system in the world, to ensure that money stays in safe hands and is delivered to the right places. To join the Field of 68 Survivor Madness, click the link in our profile below and join in. Entries are $5 a pop with a prize pool of up to $4,500. Winner take all. Join Splash and come prove that you're smarter than us.
We can't hear you.
Welcome back. 68 After Dark, John Fanta, Jeff Goodman, Randolph Childress with you all on this Monday evening. All right, so before we get to the rest of the brackets, the final projections here, and the first four, The first four gets underway tomorrow. Jeff, I know you've got your popcorn ready. It'll be Donald Copeland and Wagner taking on Howard in game one. Congratulations to both those teams. And in game two, Virginia takes on Colorado State. Are you ready, Jeff? Watch party? You going to stay up?
I mean, I don't know. Can I get a nap in there in the middle of that game somewhere? What do you think?
I mean, it's just – RC, I'm sorry, RC, but I just got to say this. When you look at the other bubble teams, I find it to be wrong that Virginia's included in this field, man.
You know what? Virginia will win two games in this tournament starting tomorrow.
Okay, tell me how.
Because we're acting as if this team, there's a difference. This team is challenged offensively, but we saw a stretch where this team can make shots. And when they do that, they're going to defend and they can win games. And I think they say what you want. They're going to defend their ass off. They're going to defend. They play hard. They just, when they just can't score and you can athletically, physically overwhelm them, then maybe you got something. But I like their matchup against Colorado State. I like their matchup.
I'm not going to disagree with RC. There's two different things here. One is, did Virginia deserve to be in? I would say probably not.
That's
not.
Right. Okay? That's fair. Right.
And then there's the, yeah, they still got a guy named Tony Bennett coaching them. Okay. Like, they haven't had a ton of success the last couple of years in the tournament, but no, it wouldn't shock me if they beat Colorado State. And then they find a way to slow down Max Asemus and beat the Texas Longhorns. Would that surprise? No, not at all. Not one bit.
All right. Before we get back to everything, we got a special guest tonight. So, Jeff, the legendary and followed Dr. David Chow, otherwise known on X as @ProFootballDoc. He's got over 200,000 X followers. You were on his show, Jeff?
Yeah, he invited me on his show earlier today, and I flipped the table on him a little bit. I mean, he wanted to talk to me, obviously, about the tournament and stuff, and I was like, listen, like, I want to get some info from you about some injuries because we got some key injuries going into the NCAA tournament, right? So I hit him with some stuff, and man, he was honestly, it was really, really insightful when I asked him about Hunter Dickinson's injury. The dislocated shoulder from a couple weeks ago, he had something that honestly I was very, very intrigued to hear, and I think you will as well.
All right, let's play.
This is a big deal. First-time dislocations take longer to return because there's more damage. Second and third time, less damage. Look, we've done the analysis on him. Right now we have a 6-score on him of 51. Which means we put him in the red, which means not sure that he's going to play. And even if he does play, his numbers and effectiveness might be in the 50% range. Wow. Okay.
Okay, that's eye opening. That's eye-opening. That's concerning.
Yeah. Like, and this is a guy that, again, does this for a living, right? I mean, he's a practicing doctor. He does this with NFL players over and over and over. And, you know, his hit rate's pretty good. Now, again, he said, listen, I haven't looked at, obviously, the x-rays or anything like that. So, you know, you take it with a grain of salt to some degree. But, obviously, he's got a lot more expertise than the three of us knuckleheads combined. So you got to take what he's saying. And even if he's not at 50% Hunter Dickinson, what if he's at 80, 85%? You know, this is a Kansas team that already we questioned, even right. with a healthy Hunter Dickinson, even with a right. healthy Kevin McCullough. And those guys right now are not going to be at 100%. So I don't think Kansas is long for this NCAA tournament.
I will say this. I may not be a doctor, but I'm qualified to speak on shoulders with 3 shoulder surgeries. So okay. I can tell you. The first one is tough because it takes a couple of days. And every time it comes out, it's difficult to lift it above your shoulder. Like, I've been on record. I'd rather tear ACL than have to go into the night for a shoulder. I ain't even close. Not even close. Wow. I've had three shoulder surgeries operated on both of them. But I will say each day it gets better, and when the adrenaline kicks in, if he wants to play, he can play. The question becomes, what does he want to do, and is it worth it? They may say, hey, just strengthen his shoulder up, try to build it back, depending on how much damage. Because the more it comes out, the worse it's going to get. And it's going to do more and more damage, and eventually he's got to go into the knife. So I had a similar surgery and tried to rush back in the fall. So it's going to be interesting to see just what they do or what decision it is, because this is a long-term deal. Like if he has to go in there, if it requires surgery, he's going to be limited until the fall. And I'm not even saying it has to be anything major. Like, I'm not talking about but it can be enough to keep him out until September, October until this fall practice starts. And then if you don't, then you got to keep him out, and he's got to essentially just rehab the hell out of it, which means you got to leave him alone, and he's still out of contact and stuff like that. But he'll at least be able to work out in the summer. So until you find out how bad the damage is with that, you really don't know. And we'll find out, because if he doesn't play, that tells us that, hey, you know what, he's thinking about his basketball future. He's going to strengthen this up, get stronger with it, see where it goes. But if it's bad and it requires surgery, then they're going to have to go in there and clean that up quick.
We'll get to some other Dr. Chow updates on Last Call coming up on the Stadium app exclusively. We got 5 minutes here, and I want to do this for our serious audience, for everybody listening in. We asked our panel tonight for the five players who could take over the tournament. Jeff, give us those five guys that you believe could become the faces that we see when CBS and Turner are coming on the air in the coming days.
I'll go with Rob Dillingham, number one. You know, Dilly is just electric, man. He's got some Lou Williams in him. You know, he's small. Ooh. He's slithery. He comes off the bench like Lou did, and he can just go get buckets. So Kentucky's diminutive freshman guard is somebody to watch, and I think he can go for 30 on any given night.
I like it. RC, where do you begin?
I'm going with Boo Booey. I think he's someone that can get hot and can put a team on his back. We've seen him do that. I think he has that in him. He's going to need to play that way for Northwestern to win. I think he has that in him, and he would be a guy that I know can get it done and go on and carry a team.
We got 3 minutes, so I'm going to give you my five and then kick it around here. I've got rapid fire here. Tucker DeVries of Drake, because I believe in the Bulldogs' ability to get two wins in this tournament, and DeVries is a bucket, averaging over 20 per game, special talent. Shahada Wells of McNeese, another kid that's going to become a big-time name here right when he plays Gonzaga. I can't wait to see him take the floor. If Colorado State gets a run from first four and is able to get something going, Isaiah Stevens. If you haven't watched him play, you've been ignorant, because you're missing out on the Mountain West. You're missing out on this kid. He is an absolute bucket. I mean, over 2,000 points, but he's also an elite passer. Josh Hubbard of Mississippi State and Terrence Edwards Jr. of James Madison. I want to mention this. You can join our bracket pool, our survivor pool. The links are in the description, everybody. Links in the description. Join our bracket pool and survivor pool. Jeff, give me your other four.
Aiden Mahaney, St. Mary's, guard. Sophomore who's, you know, not been as good this year, but still capable of going for 25. I mean, you got to have Caleb Love on that list, don't you? I mean, you have to. Yes. I know RC does. All or nothing. Well, he's been more all this year than nothing. Nellie Davis, you know, RC said Boo Booey. He's going against Nellie Davis of FAU. And the last one, Max Asmus of Texas. All those dudes can go for 30, maybe even 40 on a given night.
My other ones would be, I was going to go with Reed Shepherd. We agree, Jeff. I think it's Caleb Love. I think it's John L. Davis. But the other one is RJ Davis. The only argument I'm going to push back on both of you guys on is I think the best on-ball defender in this tournament is Reese Beekman. And he plays against who? He's going to play against both of those. That's why I say this.
Isaiah Stevens.
Yes.
Yeah.
He plays against Isaiah Stevens. I'd be shocked if he's given Breach Beekman 30.
Yeah.
That's good stuff. Hey, while we've got 45 seconds, Jeff, just list your final four right now.
Man, it's brutal. I'm going UConn, Carolina, Kentucky, and Tennessee.
RC?
Oh, man. I'm going UConn, Purdue.
Wow.
That Carolina, Arizona, can I sleep on it? And I have no idea what's coming out of that out of the South. If Houston's healthy, I like it, but I got no clue with that. I'm
UConn, Houston, Arizona, Tennessee for me. UConn and Tennessee mean the title game. UConn wins it. That's it for us here on Dark Sea tomorrow. Go to Last Call on Stadium now.